You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of ICAC 2007, the 47th Annual InterScience Conference on Antimicrobial Agents and Chemotherapy. The conference took place in Chicago, Illinois, from September 17th through September 20th, 2007.
Welcome. This is Bonnie Goldman, Editorial Director of The Body Pro. I'm in Chicago at ICAC 2007, one of the year's HIV conferences. Right now, I'm in the poster session, where researchers are standing in front of their posters. There's nothing like hearing the results of research directly from those who actually conducted the research. It is these women and men who are transforming HIV treatment and care. In this podcast, the researchers will introduce themselves and then summarize their study. After their summary, I will ask a few questions.
So it's Dr. Jacob Lalazari of Quest Research talking about the BOSS study, which was a bioinjector used, a needle-free device, injection device for administration of T20. At the start of the study, I didn't really think this was going to work. We had seen previous work that showed that the pharmacokinetics, the amount of drug delivered, was the equivalent between this needle-free injection device and the needle itself. But it wasn't clear to me that patients, that subset of patients who have bad injection site reactions, people with bad nodules and so on, would really benefit from a different way of delivering the drug. And the needle-free injection device is a needle-free. It's just a high-powered jet that delivers the drug into the sub-Q space without using a needle. But to my surprise, in fact, the study did work. And at the end of the day, patients did prefer the needle-free injection device. We used the composite endpoint to objectively measure the injection site reactions. That included three things, including pain in duration and nodules and cysts. And patients were randomized to the eight-week study to either begin use of the NFID, the needle-free injection device, or continue 4 weeks with a needle and then switch to the NFID. So the final or the primary analysis was at week four. And there was a dropout of about 10% of patients, both arms, to start, which reflected both disappointment from not being randomized to the new device, as well as some patients who began the device and felt like it wasn't going to be able to help them tolerate their injection site reactions. But at the end of the day, what we saw is that at week four, there was a substantial decrease in the number of patients who had reached the composite endpoint from 40% at baseline to 25% at week four and 20% at week eight using this device. That's the percent of patients who continue to have pain, in duration, and nodules that met pre-specified criteria. In contrast, folks who stayed with the needle and for 4 weeks actually saw an increase in the percent achieving that composite endpoint from about 35% to 45%, which we thought reflected patients switching from their 31-gauge needle down to the 27-gauge needle that the FDA mandated for this study. Those folks then switched to the needle-free injection device, and they too saw a decrease in their composite endpoint down to 26%. So even the folks who had delayed use of the device benefited by week eight. And the important thing then is of the folks who completed the study, 87.2 or almost 90% expressed their preference for the needle-free injection device over the standard needle. And that's been our experience, is that this isn't for everybody. There's a certain number of patients who, when they first use the device, are put off. But we have been very pleasantly surprised by the number of patients, particularly those who are having significant nodules and other injection site reactions, who at the end of the day do prefer the bioinjector to the standard needle. That said, we are not in a position to offer our patients the bioinjector because it won't be available because of regulatory issues for at least 6 to 12 months.
Could you talk a little bit about the patient characteristics? What were the numbers?
You tell me. They were mostly male. What would you particularly be interested in?
So there were 317 participants total.
Yeah. Okay. What would you be interested in all of this?
Well, I guess body mass, because wasn't there a study that showed that if the people who had less fat were more likely to experience injection site reactions? There was a study a year ago or so.
And I'm aware of that study, although that is not any part of this analysis.
Okay.
Patients who have less subcutaneous tissue are more likely to inadvertently deposit the drug into muscle. And in our experience, intramuscular deposition is a nightmare. And that's why a lot of the patients who do their T20 injections in the thigh run into problems because there isn't enough sub-Q space there to take the drug. And when they nick the muscle, they end up with these horrific injection site reactions. So I always tell patients to avoid the legs at all costs because that's where the most muscle and the least amount of sub-Q tissue is. The abdomen, the sides of the abdomen, the buttocks are good. And in the upper arm, in the triceps area, there's a fold there of tissue that one can often use and actually have the least severe injection site reactions. So you're quite right that the amount of sub-Q tissue available is key to tolerating the drug.
And then I guess one more question. There was a study that showed that recently was disappointing. It had a disappointing reaction that the patients did not prefer it and it did not make the injections. It was not that long ago.
This is the only randomized study of patients who, with injection site reactions, who were then randomized to needle or device. And I think the outcome was fairly positive. There are other studies going on, the WAN study, in patients who are newly starting T20. And I'm not sure if those results have been published yet or released.
How soon will the regulatory issues be resolved?
I'm told it's 6 to 12 months before this will be something we can really offer our patients.
There are ongoing studies, so if somebody wants to use this, they can join a study.
They can join a study. The only study that's accruing is through the ACTG right now.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
This has been a report on ICAC 2007 from The Body Pro. For more podcasts and full coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/ICAAC2007.